This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Stu Does America.
Ah, we are back. Stu Does America back from a beach vacation to jump right into campaign time. I'm really excited about it as well. Hey, don't forget, anyone but Biden 2024. The merch line is available now at StuDoesMerch.com. Use the code Stu10 to save 10%. If you're watching on YouTube, like the video right now. I mean, we haven't posted a lot recently because, you know, we've been off. So, like, help us out. Subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell for notifications. Do all the things. We appreciate it. Jason Buttrell is here with the latest on the Hunter Biden scandal and the spectacular legal collapse he's in the middle of. The media keeps trying to push Bidenomics on us, and Americans still aren't buying it, thankfully. But we start by doing the state of the 2024 race, part one. You know, the Godfather was just the Godfather. And this, it wasn't the Godfather part one. I don't know why we have part one on there, but we do intend to make this into like a Fast and Furious level sequel type of thing. There's going to be like 40 of these. Eventually The Rock's going to be in some of them. We'll get into that a little bit later. It's an important thing to understand where we are before this really kicks off. I mentioned we did this Friday event in Iowa. It was kind of like the unofficial kickoff to the campaign. Of course, the first debate is going to be that moment where a lot of people turn their eyes to the campaign really for the first time. And it's important to know where we stand walking into that scenario. And the New York Times, Siena, put together a poll. And they're one of the better pollsters out there if you're going to look at mainstream polling. They're more thorough than a lot of the other people are, I think. And so you get a kind of a picture as to where the race stands right now. And this is a poll conducted on Republican primary voters, likely voters. And here's the headline: Trump crushing DeSantis and GOP rivals, Times Siena poll finds. Here's the big picture right here. Donald Trump, 54%. Ron DeSantis, 17%. Nobody else over 3%. Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley, all at 3%. Vivek Ramaswamy and Chris Christie down at 2%. And before we get into the kind of the headline here, which is the Trump DeSantis back and forth and what that means and, you know, where we are right now, I want to just take a moment to focus on the other people in this race, the Pences, the Scotts, Haley's, Ramaswamy, Christie, all those other people. 3%. Keep that number in your head for a second. 3% are supporting one of those candidates, 3% or less. Let me give you another thing from the same poll. Do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling his job as president? A presidential approval rating of Republicans of Joe Biden, 8% approve. So you're almost three times as likely to find someone who approves of Joe Biden's performance than is supporting Tim Scott as president right now. That's where we are in this campaign. No knock on Tim Scott. No knock on Nikki Haley. But like the idea that this is a two-person race is something we're going to get into here in a second, but it's certainly not a three-person race or a four-person race. It's interesting in some ways you could look at this and say, gosh, this is a terrible poll for Ron DeSantis. But like in another way, you could say, well, there was this some evidence that these other candidates were surging. At least this poll is not showing that. But let's go to the top of the ticket here first. And the polls from New York Times, Siena. This is Nate Cohn, who's the head of their polling over there. He says, why Trump is so hard to beat. And this should put this into perspective. And if you're not a Trump supporter, this is going to hurt a little bit. I warn you, if you're thinking someone else is going to win, this one's going to hurt a little bit. But we're going to give you the entire picture here in this particular monologue. In the half century of modern presidential primaries, no candidate who has led his or her nearest rival by at least 20 points at this stage has ever lost a party nomination. Today, Donald J. Trump's lead over Ron DeSantis is nearly twice as large, 37 points, according to the poll. So he's ahead by a lot. Now, this is, look, we talk about this stuff a lot. A lot of people come to the show because we try to break this stuff down in a way that is understandable and also honest. I don't get into rooting in these things anymore. Like I used to do that. There was a time where I was like really passionate about who wins and loses these things. Honestly, at this point, you pick who you want. I don't know. I'm just going to tell you what I think is going to happen and look at this data and try to give you analysis of it. You pick who you freaking want. I'm not your dad. I'm not here to advise you on what medicine to take or what, who to vote for or who to date. You do all that stuff. You figure that stuff out on your own. I got enough problems in my own life rather than telling you about that. But I will say it is interesting to look at this and try to break it down as to what it means. Now, one thing it does mean is that the left is starting to kind of freak out a little bit. They see Donald Trump leading. CNN has written this. The chance of Trump winning another term is very real. And that's from Harry Enten, who's actually very good over at CNN. But it's a warning. Like, imagine reading that if you're a CNN viewer. You were told this guy's going to be in prison in the next few months. And all of a sudden, wait a minute. No, when you look at the data, really good chance this guy is actually the next president of the United States. Now, I will say, some of the stuff, it holds very much in the Republican primary and maybe not as much in the general electorate. We'll get to that here in a second. But the Democrats are also very worried about this. They say their most loyal voters won't turn out for Biden in 2024. Democrats are worried about the potential drop next year in turnout among black voters, the party's most loyal constituency, for reasons unknown, who played a consequential role in delivering the White House to President Biden in 2020, but crucial, of course, for his reelection. The concern stems from a 10 percentage point decline in black voter turnout in last year's midterms compared with 2018, a bigger drop than among any other racial or ethnic group, according to Washington Post analysis of the Census Bureau's turnout survey. So it's not great news for Democrats here. They're getting a little bit freaked out. But of course, the Republican primary is the focus right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. We'll get into the Hunter Biden developments and Devin Archer and all that stuff here in a few minutes. But it's interesting to kind of look at this and step back and say, okay, you know, how are Democrats reading this? And how is this primary playing out? And why is Donald Trump so difficult to beat? Look, I've been very consistent on this from the very beginning. Donald Trump is the overwhelming favorite to win this election when it comes to the Republican primary. I like Ron DeSantis a lot. I like a lot of the other candidates as well. We talked to a bunch of them in Iowa. Some of them have really good arguments as to why they should be president. But look, Donald Trump is like the most famous person in the world. He was already the president of the United States. He's got a lot going for him. And, you know, this poll shows a little bit as to why you get there if you look at these numbers all the time. This breakdown is a pretty solid breakdown as to where we stand right now. And it shows how difficult this is going to be for anyone. This isn't even a knock on any of the other candidates. People kind of like to put this in this framing of, well, Ron DeSantis is behind by a bunch. That means he's doing X, Y, and Z wrong. And he may be doing X, Y, and Z wrong. Maybe Tim Scott is not doing all of the right things. Maybe Nikki Haley's not saying all the right things. But really, this is more about the strength of Donald Trump than it is about any of these other candidates. It would be very difficult to overcome this type of scenario. Here is the breakdown from the New York Times. The MAGA base, as they find in the poll, makes up about 37% of the electorate. So Donald Trump basically starts at 37%. How do you beat a candidate that starts at 37%? Well, you can try to win every other vote with very little wiggle room and hope that none of the other candidates get any votes. So it's only two people. You see how difficult this would be. When someone's starting at 37, it's almost impossible to knock him out. Because if you look at the middle section of this, these are persuadables. These are people who could go either way. But when I say they could go either way, they also may go to Donald Trump, and many of them do. So getting him over 50%, it's not that hard. You don't have to do much of anything when your starting point is 37%. Now, if there were only two candidates, you could also argue, in this, as according to this poll, that 25% are not open to Trump, which means, you know, you're kind of starting at 25% on the other side. Of course, that's broken up between all of these candidates, which makes it nearly impossible. I mean, honestly, if you just had two candidates in this race, Donald Trump would still be winning by a large margin. Donald Trump would have to choke this to lose. And he may, you know, he makes a lot of mistakes. He makes a lot of unforced errors at times, and he could blow this. I don't know that it's possible for someone to outperform him if he's at the top of his game, given all the fundamentals that are in this race. He's got an entire, you know, army behind him that just love him no matter what he does. As he's himself has talked about, he could shoot people on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose anything in the polls. That's how he sees his base and kind of how his base sees him. I mean, really, I don't think there's anything he can do to shake, say, 30%. Maybe there's a few people in that 37% that could be persuaded by something, but honestly, not many. Many people just see him as a cultural beacon and are going to be with him no matter what he does or says. These attacks that are coming now from the left and at some degree on the right that are talking about how Donald Trump is raising tens of millions of dollars from small dollar donors, that he is taking at times, you know, you could argue dishonestly, and putting it toward his legal defense. And the media keeps presenting this as if, you know, average Trump supporters are going to say, wow, that really, really upsets me. I don't think it upsets them at all. It doesn't seem to upset them at all. You know, it's one of those things where they see, well, this is an unfair prosecution of my guy. And so whatever he wants to use the money for, we're good for it. Now, I wish he would use his own money for some of this and maybe use some of the donor money to go after Joe Biden a little bit more. And maybe he will. He says he will in the campaign. We will see if that's true. Now, when you look at the base of Trump voters, remember, that's about 54% in this poll. And it's a national poll. It's important to understand these early states look a little bit different. They're closer than the national poll. That's a big, big important thing that maybe I should have mentioned earlier. I know you know this if you read this stuff all the time. The national polls give you a sense as to where people might be. The state polls are much more important, and they are considerably closer than this. But when asked, are you considering other candidates, to the Donald Trump supporters, about half say they are. 46% say they're considering other candidates. 52% say they are only considering Donald Trump. So this is the breakdown that they have from the Times, where 37% is the MAGA base. About 17% of the next group is leaning toward Donald Trump. About 12% are leaning toward other candidates. 17% favoring DeSantis. And then you have a bunch of people who are like in the Chris Christie, or some of these people are like, I might even vote for Biden. I don't like the Republicans right now, even though they consider themselves Republican leaners. You know, it's a complicated group. Trump's not going to get any of those people, but he doesn't need any of them either. You're not going to win, you know, like ask Will Hurd if you're going to win an election. Ask Chris Christie if you're going to win an election by just yelling at Donald Trump. You might get to 4 or 5%. You might get to, in Christie's case, 8 or 9% in New Hampshire. I don't see where the ceiling is really with either of these guys or anyone who's kind of branding themselves as this anti-Trump candidate. You know, I've been saying this for a while, and I think it's true. If Ron DeSantis wants to show that he's better than Donald Trump, it's really not going to be an argument where he says, hey, listen to me, I'm better than Donald Trump. Here's why. What he needs to do is show people. He needs to move people emotionally to that answer. He needs to go on The View and just, you know, politically slaughter all of the women on the View. And get 15 viral clips out of it, to the point that Republican voters get so excited about his possibility shooting down the media all the time, they forget about the excitement of Trump, because Trump is exciting to a lot of people. I've said this before. You know, we were talking about the Fast and the Furious earlier. Donald Trump is exciting in the way the Fast and the Furious is exciting. There's a lot of explosions. There's a lot of car chases. When you're watching it, you can't help but be excited. Now, I don't know, what are we on now? How many runs has he had? He's been around for a long time. He's one of the most famous people in the world, and has been one of the most famous people in America for 40 years. Like, at some point, I don't know what sequel you get bored of the car crashes and the explosions. But like, when you're watching it, it's always pretty exciting. And I think a lot of people emotionally connect with that excitement. And you know, Ron DeSantis is going to have to excite them that way. Can he do that? I don't know. It's not going to be easy, as I point out here. Some of the breakdowns of the electorate are interesting. The MAGA base voters, do you think the GOP has to stand by Trump? 94% say yes. The persuadable voters, that number's at 80%. And the non-Trump voters, that number's only at 32%. Would you vote for Biden over Trump? Well, nobody in the MAGA base, literally 0%. Zero people said yes to that in the MAGA base, of course. But of the persuadable voters, only 1%. So these are conservative voters. They are not considering Joe Biden, but they could be won over to someone like a DeSantis. And then, of course, 29% of the never Trump people say they may vote for Biden if Trump is the nominee. Trump committed crimes. Well, nobody in the MAGA base does. Only 9% of persuadable voters, 49% of those anti-Trump voters. And then have a favorable view of Trump. Well, 0%. An unfavorable view of Trump. 0% of the MAGA base, of course. 12% of persuadable voters say they have an unfavorable view of Trump, and 69% that are not open to Trump say that. Is America in danger of failing? This is an interesting question. It's kind of measuring the catastrophic nature of your beliefs. Are we on the verge of collapse, or are just things not going so well? Well, you see, the trend is pretty clear. If you're a MAGA-based person, you very much think that America is in danger of failing. 80% say yes, and it goes down to 61 and then 37 for those non-Trump voters. Do you oppose immigration reform? As you'd expect, the highest number is with the MAGA base at 71, down to 37% for the not open to Trump. Or do you oppose aid to Ukraine? 64% of the MAGA base says they do. 58% of persuadable voters say that they oppose more aid to Ukraine. And then only 26% of those who are not open to Trump. And of course, that group, you know, of course, it's Christie voters. It's also, you know, maybe that McCain view of the party from back in the day. You have a bunch of those types in there. You have moderates in there. You know, the Trump seems to do well with lower income voters, as they point out in the poll, lower education voters. They tend to be more on the Trump side. DeSantis does better with higher income people, higher educated people. And he has some, here's the stats to break that out here, by the way. 57% of the MAGA base say they're very conservative. Earning $100,000 or more is one of the categories where the MAGA base is outdone there as it goes up the scale. Having a college degree as well, and then moderate or liberal, of course, the more liberal you are, the more you're going against the MAGA base there. They have some of these tendencies as far as like what do you think about these candidates? And I thought this was kind of interesting. DeSantis gets slaughtered in these matchups. Strong leader, 69-22 against Trump, gets things done, 67-22. That one's fascinating to me, mainly just because, you know, DeSantis, you could say a lot of things about him. He's definitely got a lot of stuff done in Florida, but that's not how people are seeing this race right now. It's still nationalized for most of these people. Able to beat Joe Biden. Again, this is the main argument for Ron DeSantis, right? Trump is a unique phenomenon among Republican primary voters. He really is. I mean, again, there's nobody else that has 37% of this voting base locked up like he does, and seemingly unshakable no matter what he does, what he says, you know, what charges fly at him from the left, no matter what it is. So he's a unique phenomenon. There's not a lot of evidence that that goes outside of the Republican primary base. So a key argument for DeSantis or anyone else, Tim Scott or Nikki Haley, is to say, hey, yeah, I'll do a lot of the stuff Trump did, but everyone won't hate me like they hate Trump if they're not Republicans. The moderate base will like me. They'll come to my side. I'm more electable than Donald Trump. Well, that is not connecting yet with Republican primary voters nationwide, as able to beat Joe Biden, Trump is the one seen, 58-28 on that one. Fun, who's fun in this race? Well, Donald Trump, of course, is fun, 54-16 over DeSantis. The only two that DeSantis wins on are likable and moral. And what's interesting is Donald Trump has been seen as the likable guy. He works the room. He's hanging out with people. You'd like to have a beer with Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis, well, he's talking policy all the time. He's not that exciting. That's at least how the media has presented this. Not exactly how Republican primary voters answered that question. And moral, 45-37, DeSantis is favored. I'll give you this last one here, because this one's just personally annoying to me. Look. I get that you agree with RFK Jr. on, what vaccines or vaccine policy or vaccine mandates, or whatever. I fully agree with him on vaccine mandates. I really do. I just can't take this. Tell me whether you have a very favorable or somewhat favorable, somewhat unfavorable or very unfavorable opinion of RFK Jr. Again, these are Republican primary voters. 53% say net favorable view of RFK Jr., a man who wanted to execute Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck not that long ago. Really? I mean, Siri, I get that you like him on this one issue. I got it. But I mean, come on. This guy has had an entire lifetime of comments about wanting to put people in prison for opposing their views. The exact type of stuff we yell at Facebook for, he wanted to make a government policy like 5 years ago. Can we not? I get that he's against Biden, and I like that he's causing chaos too. So I like that about him. But can we stop with the RFK Jr. thing? All right, Jason Buchholz coming on here in just a second. He's going to talk to us about the Devin Archer stuff from today and the Hunter Biden, the latest on that. We'll get to him here in a second. Wow. one of the most important parts of getting a good night's sleep is temperature. And I know I was on vacation, as I mentioned last week. And, you know, you're in hotel rooms. You don't have your sheets. You don't have your bed. You don't have any of that stuff that makes you comfortable at home. And, man, I kept waking up so hot. And then I take the covers off. And then I get so cold. I was like, I got to get back and get my Miracle Made bed sheets again. I got to get out of this world. They have these silver-infused fabrics. They are made by, inspired by NASA. Miracle Made sheets are thermoregulating. And that is what I'm talking about, right? Because once you're asleep, you don't really move, and you just get hotter and hotter and hotter through the night, and then you got to take the covers off. You need to have sheets that help you with this process, not hurt you. They, of course, are made with silver. They prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. You don't have to worry about any gross odors if that's an issue for you. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable, and they don't have the high price tag of the other luxury brands. They feel really nice, and they're used by some five-star hotels. It's certainly not the ones I was sleeping at this past week, though. Miracle is so confident in their product. It's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so try it. See if you like it. And if you don't, then you can give it back, but you're not gonna want to do that. Go to trymiracle.com/stew, trymiracle.com/stew. Try the Miracle Made sheets today. I think you're going to like them a lot, whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one. You can order today, get over 40% off. And if you use the promo code STEW, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. It's a great deal. Trymiracle.com/stew. Treat yourself with Miracle Made bed sheets.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
On over again, Jason Buttrell. He is the head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. And Jason, as opposed to what Glenn Beck was telling millions of listeners nationwide, I was not in legal trouble last week. I was on vacation. I was on the beach. And obviously, all I did on the beach was read transcripts of Hunter Biden and Devin Archer evidence. And so I'm very much up on this story. But I'm concerned, because I wasn't on the air last week, that the audience may not be up on this. So, like, if you were trying to talk to me like you're talking to the audience who didn't pay attention for the last 7 days at all to any of this, I know there was something big that would happen with Hunter Biden next week. Last week, can you take us back to that and maybe walk us up to the testimony today?
Sure, not you, but for everyone else.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm acting as an advocate for the audience.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, what a bad week for the DOJ. It's probably one of the dirtiest I've seen a government institution look.
Wow.
All at one time.
That's a lot.
Because there was not only that, like, there was also the Sam Bankman-Fried thing that came out where the DOJ just dropped the charges about campaign finance.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Insane. He donated it was like $40 million of stolen money. That seems like it's a bad thing. Like, you shouldn't be able to donate stolen money to Democrats.
Who's the guy that they put in prison for like a small donation to his friend? The Trump ally. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But you know, they'll go after the campaign finance, you know, violations of $4,000 for some dumb little donation here. They can't figure anything out for Sam Bankman-Fried. It's amazing.
It's just the craziest thing. But that, on top of what we saw in the court hearing for Hunter Biden, was nuts. I was getting everything piecemeal, as everyone was, as we're kind of just going through Twitter. But I read through that entire, you know, whatever you call it, that, you know, the stenographer did for the hearing.
Yeah.
And that judge was not having it at all.
Yeah.
So basically there was, and she was getting right to the questions that we were asking, which is absolutely amazing. But she was like, why are you tying this gun charge to these two tax crimes? And then you've got this, you know, U.S. attorney, Leo Weiss, which, if you're making your own at home, guys, your own chalkboard, deep stake chalkboards, doesn't everyone?
Yeah,
my family does this all the time. We update it every night. But if you're making your own, add Leo Weiss from the DOJ onto this. I mean, absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. He's stumbling through like, there's the diversion agreement. But, and she's like, yeah, well, about that diversion agreement for the gun charge. Why is there a do not prosecute agreement in the diversion gun charge section of this when it has to do with the tax crimes. Can you explain that?
And he's like, well, the diversion agreement, I don't know.
I mean, he literally did not know what to say. And you could tell that his lawyers and or the U.S. attorneys and Hunter's attorneys are both kind of looking at each other like, bro, this is not supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. But what they tried to do is they tried to get this snuck in under the diversion agreement so that the judge couldn't do anything about it. Because that falls under the executive branch, diversion agreements do. That's with the DOJ. Mm. The judge can't do anything about that. But if it's under the tax part, and there's a do not prosecute portion under that, she can deny it. So they wanted to slip that in there so that eventually, you know, we would, let's say there's a damning, interview. Let's say by like Hunter Biden's, business partner.
Right, you're throwing out a crazy scenario.
Like Devin Archer comes in and testifies to Congress. Let's just say
That's not going to happen, but sure.
That won't happen. Mm-hmm. That comes in, and then you're like, well, crap, well, maybe Joe Biden lied about some of these things. Maybe we should look into it. But then the DOJ would say, oh, well, we can't do anything about it because of this agreement. That's exactly the kind of stuff that, I'm telling you.
It's hard to believe that they even attempted this. And
I know.
And I think the only reason that it was caught was because it seemed like Hunter Biden's attorneys were sort of bragging about it. They were saying like, yeah, we got this deal done and this is going to clear everything. This pushes everything to the side. And I kept thinking to myself, well, why would a tax agreement or a gun agreement push to the side a foreign donations scandal with the president and his son?
Yeah.
Like, why do those two things have anything to do with each other? What if they find more? And they just kept acting like it was like this total immunity for all crimes pre-2022. It's like, well, that's not how this works, right? I mean, maybe I haven't had enough legal trouble. Maybe I need to investigate more legal. I need to just do some more shady crap. And maybe I'd figure this stuff out. But like, to me, like, if you have a gun charge, you can do something on the gun charge and say, okay, this is going to, we're not going to, no longer going to have to go after you on this particular gun charge. But even if there was a separate gun charge from another day, you'd still be able to be prosecuted for that. They wanted to give him like complete life immunity for multiple years.
Yeah. So if you read that, and if you stumble across this, maybe I've tweeted out the link. So if you go to my Twitter, you can find it. But if you go to that link and read through it, it's paragraph 15, which is the infamous do not prosecute for certain crimes. And it's insane when you read it, because again, this is under the gun charge, and you'll see U.S. Attorney Weiss say this is the diversion for the gun charge. And then, but it says nothing about the gun at all, and it just says will not prosecute for the crimes related to such and such appendix, whatever, which are the tax crimes from 2014 to 2019. Now, if you're a Glenn Beck, fan, those years very well, because those encompass Ukraine. Those encompass Burisma. Those encompass the possible bribery between, the Ukrainian prosecutor Shokin and all that. That encompasses China, the CEFC deal, all of that crazy stuff, and all the things that the House is an oversight of judiciary, all the timelines they've been releasing lately about, and the way that they were getting money through a pass-through, through a lawyer and all that, and the different cutout companies. It encompasses all that time. So now what they were trying to get through, Stu, is if that judge would have missed that and it would have gotten rubber stamped and went through.
Which it usually does.
Mm-hmm. We would never get an answer on were the Biden crime family, were they complicit in some kind of bribery scheme, not only in Ukraine or in China. We never would have gotten any of those questions. But that would have also gave immunity pretty much to Joe Biden, because they could not investigate those crimes. So it would have left Joe's name out of all of that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Now you start to see how sinister this actually was. We actually had for everyone to see a deep state operative outed in front of the entire country.
And my understanding is that, because I don't want to defend Hunter Biden or his attorneys here, but they were actually in the right here. They actually did have this. This is what they believed they were agreeing to, right? Essentially blanket immunity for everything that he could have possibly done in this time period, where it was the DOJ, when asked by the judge, was like, are you giving them full immunity here? Like, what's going on? They're like, no.
That was total bullcrap.
That was total bullcrap, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Biden attorneys were right to be mad at this, because they were led to believe they had this immunity.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Well, the Biden's attorneys, the Leo Weiss, that was a total face-saving move right there.
Right, okay.
It was so obvious because the judge asked Hunter Biden multiple times, if this was not in there, would you be agreeing with this? This is in the do not prosecute. If this is not in there, would you be agreeing to this thing? And he's like, no, Your Honor, I would not be agreeing to this thing. And then all of a sudden, she mentioned Farah, which was insane.
Yeah.
And then she goes, well, what about Farah, you know, foreign agency being a foreign agent? And then Weiss was like, oh, we'd still prosecute that. What are you talking about? And then immediately Hunter Biden's lawyer goes, Your Honor, we don't agree with what the government just said.
Right.
Because they've been meeting on this for years.
Yeah. They had agreed on it.
This
is absolutely unbelievable.
Another crazy thing in that readout in the hearing was when the judge said, you're giving blanket immunity, basically. This is not a direct quote, but she's like, you're giving blanket immunity for charges that accompany this broad amount of years that doesn't have anything to do with the diversion agreement, and I can't do a thing about it as you've shown it to me. Have you ever seen a precedent for this? And he goes, I have not, Your Honor. He actually said that. He said, yes, this is crazy. You're right to think this is crazy, man. And it's never been done before. Ever.
Oh my gosh. This is incredible. So this brings us now to Devin Archer, which is, he testified today behind closed doors. We have a good idea. Miranda Devine seemed to have it almost in advance, but we kind of now know basically what he said. And what's fascinating to me about this, and maybe you can go over, first of all, what he said, but also how this ties back to Shokin. Because, we talked about this for years and years and years back in the day. And really, a lot of it comes back to this one moment where Joe Biden couldn't contain himself to brag about getting this guy fired and withholding aid to Ukraine, which is like now you can't possibly do. That's what he did. He withheld aid to Ukraine in exchange for getting this guy fired. It all comes back to this one guy and this one issue here. Can you kind of walk us through how all of this came together?
Yeah, so you're right. Miranda Devine was on it. This was early this month, like the first or second week. I think it was like the first week in July, where she said, yes, Devin Archer is going to testify, and this is basically what he's going to say. And what he was going to say was, yes, Joe Biden was in on some of these calls, getting, teleconferenced in or on the speakerphone multiple times, including one specific meeting that was held in, I think, Dubai, where the Burisma people asked Hunter to call, the head of Burisma wanted Hunter to call his dad up that moment where a couple of other Ukraine execs were there so that they could all kind of hash this out.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm not sure if that was disclosed yet. I'm not sure because we haven't gotten everything. It literally just ended not too long ago. But what we have gotten details on, some of the highlights and takeaways from today, was that Devin Archer admitted that Burisma would not have survived without the Biden family. They said specifically they would have gone under without that brand. And they go, and Devin Archer went on to explain the brand in quotations, that the Biden family was the brand and Joe Biden was the basically chairman of the brand. And that's how they got their business deals done. He goes on to say at least 20 phone calls that he knew of personally, well, I guess he actually witnessed these, where Hunter Biden called his dad up on speakerphone, put the phone right in the middle of the business meeting, and we're not exactly sure what was said. I think the Democrats today, or I think it was Biden's lawyer, or Hunter Biden's lawyer, I can't remember who it was, one of them, said that, they talked, but, it was more like the weather. Legitimately said just the weather. So 20 times in business deals. At first he said he had no knowledge of. Then it was like, but I wasn't in business with them. I never spoke to them. I mean, we're just knocking these down one by one.
Yeah.
There's no question that he lied. There is no question that he had his own staff currently while he's president at the White House lie for him as well. So now the question is, why did he lie? Did he lie because it just looks bad? Or is he lying to protect something else that was going on? I think it's the latter.
This is incredible because, the Democrats' defense today, as you point out, is basically like, well, you know, they're at this business meeting. We're at a business meeting right now. And I say, you know what? I happen to know Glenn Beck. I get him on the phone whenever I want, whenever I want. Hold on one second. I'll do it right now. I call up Glenn. Glenn's on speakerphone. I say, hey, Glenn, how's it going? Hey, what's the show about going to be about tomorrow? Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. And I hang up. That is using influence. Yes, technically, he didn't say anything. Glenn didn't say anything about our business deal. But the point is that I can get him on the phone whenever I want. That's a message to you that you should be giving me money so that I can influence him whenever I need to be influencing him. The brand, as you point out, that is how that works. If you are at all competent, that person on the phone is not admitting that they're in the middle of that business deal. That is how it's supposed to work. Yeah. And it seems blatantly obvious. How do we not have an answer from these guys on this? I saw one reporter go to Corinne Jean-Pierre and read out the whole WhatsApp message about this influence operation. Of course, she didn't answer it. But like, how is every reporter with any pride at all not just trying to chase this answer down? Because at the very least, we should at least make him state what happened. Yes, my son was even worse than I thought, and he was using me for influence. I didn't know about it. Put him there so we can start fact-checking that claim. Yeah. But they won't even get an answer from the guy.
No. And to your point, I was just right before I walked out here, CNN, they're actually reporting on this. Their main point on this entire thing was that they have some kind of inside source that told them that Hunter Biden would try to give the illusion, direct quote, the illusion that he had some kind of influence with his dad by calling. So they were trying to say that, they're already trying to throw Hunter under the bus, as they have been. Joe was not involved, absolutely not. This was just an illusion that Joe Biden had some kind of influence
on this. This is important. It's an important step, because once they start taking that step down, you can get to the next one. Like, it was the same thing with the Cuomos, right? Like, you had to wait. They tried to protect, once Andrew went down, they tried to protect Chris and his job for a long time. And you have to get that first step to get the next step. And I think the same thing is happening here. You have to get him to say, yes, my son was using me for influence, but I had nothing to do with it. And then you can start to prove that claim right.
Yeah.
It's important that the media actually gets those answers. Maybe they will. I mean, I think it's a good sign if they're starting to admit, Hunter was giving the illusion, because at least that's something as you move down this road. Jason, we could go on forever about this. And it was helpful for you to inform the audience about what they didn't know about this particular story.
I helped you. That's what I'm here for.
You helped the audience.
I helped the audience.
Through me, as posing for an advocate, as for the audience. Jason Buttrell, he's the head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. A big special coming up this week. Don't miss it. And, of course, follow Jason on Twitter as well. You can get the links he was talking about. Jason, thanks for coming on.
You bet.
So what happened, we've already seen the global supply chains break down on so many different things. I was at my car dealership this weekend, getting an oil change, and they had cars in the dealership. They were, like, parked there. The whole showroom wasn't empty. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know how to even react, because we've seen that happen so much over the past few years. We know it's a possibility all of a sudden. I think in America, we thought we were protected from that for such a long time. But what happens if it hits something like antibiotics? This is something that could easily happen, especially with all of our production overseas. You got to be honest with yourself. You know, China and India are going to take care of their people first. They're not going to be worrying about getting it over to us. If we are in that situation, you want to make sure that you are prepared. The Jace case from Jace Medical is a great way to do this. It's going to give you a pack of 5 different courses of antibiotics that you can use to treat a long list of bacterial illnesses, respiratory infections, sinusitis, skin infections, a whole lot more. It's great to be ready for shortages, but also for traveling as well. Don't be caught unprepared. Go to jasemedical.com, enter the code STU at checkout. The promo code is STU at jasemedical.com, jasemedical.com. The promo code is STU. Well, the White House has been pushing this narrative of Bidenomics. Bidenomics will carry them through the election, because people will realize that this is really working. You know, it worked for Obamacare, right? And everyone hated that at first, and then everyone realized, hey, no, we really love it. We love Obamacare. Now it's a wonderful thing that everyone seems to support. Well, Bidenomics is going to be the same thing. At least that's what the White House has been telling us. Unfortunately, polling telling us the opposite. A recent poll from CBS News shows that 70% of voters do not believe their work income is keeping up with inflation. 52% believe that financially they are staying in place. 69% of voters say they believe prices have been going up the last few weeks. 45% still say the Biden administration is increasing inflation. Of course, all that's true. It is. You know, Again, when a rate of inflation is lower than a previous rate of inflation, so it used to be 7% and now it's only 3%, that does not mean that prices are going down. That's not what it means. What it means is they are going up less quickly. Still going up, and they're going up less quickly from the previous high numbers you were pissed off about. So if you were pissed off about what was going on a year ago, the prices are higher now, so you're still going to be pissed off. What you need is some deflationary time, some time for the prices to come back down, or at least hold completely solid so that people get used to them over a longer period of time for this to wear off. But people are not falling for this right now. Biden is trying really hard to fool people with this Bidenomics crap, and I think it's backfiring in a big way. Also, he was trying to sell people on this debt repayment loan scandal because it was ruled unconstitutional, as I told you it would be. Biden administration now, of course, is launching a new workaround. This is a new income-driven student debt repayment plan, which is basically another way to say, screw you to our system of government. This is what they do now. When they don't get their way with the Supreme Court, they just keep trying to cheat over and over and over again to hope eventually they'll get judges to say, all right, fine. And if they don't, then they get to just complain about the judges. This is the way that they do it now. They try stuff that they know they've said is already unconstitutional. They try it anyway. When, of course, a court says this is unconstitutional, they say, darn these courts, they're so mean. And the dumb base that they have rallies around them. Well, this is a new plan. And just to show you how much how far they've gone here. The old plan was going to be $400 billion cost to the government. This new one is only like $361 billion. So it's a totally different thing. It's $39 billion less. I mean, technically, they have 361 billion other plans they could try. Just keep ramping it down dollar by dollar and keep pitching it at the stupid voting populace that they keep trying to massage into voting for them. I don't know. I don't think people are going to fall for it. But then again, who knows? At this point, honestly, I have very little faith in about half of the American people. There's a lot of talk right now about the Sound of Freedom and the horrors of human trafficking. And we were at the airport, they were making all the announcements like, are you seeing human trafficking right now? And I'm like, I had to explain to my kids what human trafficking was. Like, I didn't really want to do that, honestly, at the airport. But thank you for that, Miami International Airport. What if I told you, though, that you could do something about this? And this is like before you even put your pants on in the morning. Undertak is not your typical men's boxers. They're made with modal, which is kind of like cotton, just way better. It's 50% more moisture wicking, antibacterial, and it's way softer. You're gonna love the feel of this. Undertak stays in place with a sturdy yet comfortable extra wide waistband, and the fly design is brilliantly straightforward. You'll like that as well. Undertak is durable, ultra light, fade resistant, and shrink resistant. And the best part is they're almost 30% less than the competition. You're going to like that as well. But they also donate a portion of their profits to multiple organizations fighting human trafficking. So go pick up a drawer full today. You're going to love these things. Undertak.com. Undertak.com. Get 20% off site-wide when you use the offer code STU20. Undertak comes with a satisfaction guarantee, and you're helping to make the world a better place, too. Undertak.com, undertak.com, undertak.com. The offer code is STU20. New York has a lot of problems. One of the things it has going for it is a lot of great food. Of course, you don't want to go outside anymore to get it. So you order it from DoorDash or Uber Eats or some restaurant, and they deliver it to you. That's a great part about living in New York. You never have to go outside. All the food comes to you. Of course, they want to screw that up, too. Eric Adams is putting into a new rule called Skip the Stuff, which basically makes it so you have to request having, so stupid, anything like a plastic fork, plastic knives, extra napkins. You have to request that. They can't just give it to you. So the restaurant can't just try to help you have the best experience. They have to now legally wait for you to ask them for the silverware. Now, of course, if you forget to ask, then you're stuck digging through, you're trying to cup soup in your hands. I don't know what you're supposed to do in that particular situation. But just another reminder that New York sucks. And if you think it's bad where you are, it's probably worse there. Who should you vote for? It's easy. Anyone but Biden. 24. That's all available now at StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10, and you'll save 10%. Anyone but Biden, 2024, up at StuDoesMerch.com. We're back all week, a full week of work. Yeah, it's shocking, I know. We'll see you tomorrow.